Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
So, Matt, what are we talking about in this episode?
Oh, a little bit of LA Auto Show coverage. EV was the theme, so we're going to talk a little bit about Rivian and Fisker and the Porsche Cayman GT4 RS.
A screamer and a beautiful, beautiful car. All right, first, there's Geico. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning. Renting? You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com. Get it on. Got to get on the transmitter. Get on, Mandy. Get it on. And welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the moderator. DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there. How do you do?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm looking at all the car stuff we got to talk about. I notice you're driving the new TRD Toyota Camry.
Toyota Camry. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So
the Toyota Camry's like getting aggressive looking.
It is, but it's interesting that when they did this car, so the Toyota Camry TRD is the hotter version of the Camry, but to not make it out of the price range, because the Camry is, you know, one of the best-selling cars in the country, and in the 30,000-ish range, they actually spiced it up with suspension and exhaust and stuff, but they ended up removing a bunch of things like wireless charging and moonroof and you know, heated steering wheel and heated seats. So actually, this TRD Camry is $33,000, $33,160, when you can get a fully loaded Camry for actually $36,000. So this is the sportier version, but is not top of the food chain.
Rear-wheel drive?
That's a good question. So rear-wheel drive on this, I believe...
I believe it is
because it's got the V6.
I don't even – well, we can pop the hood and see what direction it's facing.
Yeah.
I don't – are most Camrys rear wheel, front wheel? I've lost track. It was a bad era when everything switched to front wheel, and then I was sort of out because I didn't like all the hopped up front wheel drive cars.
Yeah.
It drove me nuts when people were – breathing all over their Hondas and souping them up and hopping them up to see those front wheels spinning around.
It's front wheel.
Oh.
Really?
Oh.
That's a bummer.
Well, look, the good news is you drove it here and you couldn't tell.
Yeah, you might set traffic for an hour, but...
you can upgrade to all-wheel drive if you want.
I don't think you can in the TRD, though, which is kind of the issue. But the TRD... So they gave it some stiffer springs and a little bit larger sway bar. They lowered it a little bit, about a half an inch, 0.6 inches. They lowered it. They got larger brakes. It's got 12.9 inch instead of the 12 inch.
12.9 used to be about as big as you were going to get in the aftermarket world, you know, set of Brembos.
And now it's got two piston calipers instead of one piston calipers.
Well, you know, it strikes me looking at it that car manufacturers started doing They've moved from the interior to the exterior. Mm-hmm. So, you know, back in the day, I would always say, you know, talking about a Camaro or a Mustang back in the 80s or 90s, I'd go, let's just do whatever BMW is doing, do whatever Volkswagen is doing, you know, just make it more. And thus the era of the diamond stitching was upon us.
Yeah,
you know, now every, because as I've said many times, if it doesn't cost any more to do a diamond stitch, then do a diamond stitch, because that's what Rolls Royce and Bentley have. Now they went from the sort of bland bar of soap on the exterior to sharpening up the lines on the exterior, because evidently when you're popping steel, you can just pop it whatever shape you want to pop it. And so now what you have is a Camry that looks pretty aggressive from the outside. It's got some good lines, kind of looks like a BMW 4 Series or something like that, 3 or 4 Series. And then you go to the interior, it's got the diamond stitching, and it looks the part as well. And somebody figured out that if it doesn't really cost much more, why not just emulate? Like, what? Why do we have, you know, so back in the day, you could drive down the highway and you could tell, oh, that's an expensive car, that's a cheap car. Now with Hyundai and Genesis and all this kind of stuff, you have to get up on the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
You used to be able to tell from 50 yards, oh, that's a Camry, that's a Honda, you know, that's a shitbox, mm-hmm. you know. Kind of started when cars started going, they took a look at the Audi 7 Series when that came out, and they went, why don't we just start shaping them like that? Honda started doing that. Toyota got into it a little bit, Genesis and all that, and mm-hmm. they just went like, well, why should people be able to tell from 100 feet that this is the cheap car? Why not make them get up on it?
You notice how, like, a lot of the inexpensive cars felt like things were tacked on, and the more expensive cars felt like everything was flush and integrated, mm-hmm. right? And now, especially like Genesis, like the gaps are good, the lights are flush, everything's LED, and I'm talking exterior, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you see it, somebody just said, you know what, I'm gonna give a little bit of thought to the design of the taillights. Instead of just a big red piece of plastic with a bulb jammed into it, let's give it a little bit of thought into the design, and then you come up with something that you haven't seen, and now it stands out. You're like, oh, I really like the Genesis. I really like the way that's looking, you know?
Yeah, no better time to be poor, as I've always said.
So Toyota Camry is, you know, the TRD. It's the hotter version. It handles well. It's much grippier. They put bigger brakes on it, and they kept the price at just over $33,000 by eliminating maybe a lot of the things that you don't necessarily need. But the thought process, I thought, was kind of smart. They're saying, hey, why can't we do the sporty version with the wings and the red calipers and the 19-inch wheels and not have it be the most expensive premium version of the car? Why does it have to be, I don't know, $45,000? Why can't we make it a stripped down entry level version? And I would argue lighter weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it does come in a few percentage points less. So it's kind of an interesting car. And I'm driving it, I'm going, I ran into somebody. I think I ran into Brian Callen.
Mm-hmm. Comedian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Brian's like, what is this?
Right.
And I go, it's a Camry. He's like, Brian's not really a car guy. He's like, it's got a big fin on the back. I was like, yeah, it's got a spoiler. It's got a wing. Yeah, fin, whatever. It's all good.
Yeah, good.
And it caught his attention. And then he kind of was like, oh, it's a little, he didn't say boy racer, but I'm sort of translating. But he's like, it's a little boy racer-ish. And I was like, it is. But it's Toyota being able to go after that Civic Type R audience as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just thought it was kind of a neat thing. And at that price range, it's a fun car to throw around.
Says here there's a Fisker update.
There is. So we've been kind of digging into Fisker recently. And Fisker debuted their SUV at the LA Auto Show.
Is that the Ocean?
The Fisker Ocean. Mm-hmm. It's got some neat features. We might have touched a little bit on some of these last week, but these new car companies are popping up, and And you're starting to wonder, like, how are they funded? How are they getting their money? And these companies are going public before they've ever made any product. And Inam Fisker, one of them as well. You know, there was a company that popped up called Mullen. It's I've never even heard of it. They were at the LA Auto Show. Mm-hmm. I'll get into that in a second. But Mullen has a factory in Tennessee that I've never heard of. And they're going to be building a car that I've never heard of. And all of those feats seem like you're just sort of piling on risk as a car company. So Fisker, who's been up and down this road before, a lot of success at Aston Martin, designed the BMW Z8, which is worth a lot of money.
Yeah, they're going up nicely. They're kind of following. They're lagging behind, but they're kind of following the trend of the 05, 06 Ford GT.
Yeah.
They sold for $150. They flattened out for a while. They maybe even dipped down a little, and then they're starting to climb up. I think the Ford GT is ahead of it a few years, but it's starting to tick up.
So Ian Callum, who's been on the show before, was the designer at Aston Martin and did the DB9.
Mm-hmm.
And under Ford ownership, when he left, I think to Jaguar, Hendrik Fisker replaced him as the head of design for Aston Martin.
Fisker Karma was a car I drove when we were doing the car show 10 years ago, whenever it was. And it was kind of ahead of its time in that, you know, they wanted a luxury electric car. They wanted an electric car that didn't feel like an electric car. You know, this is back when, you know, if you want an electric car, you had to drive a Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And people are kind of, you know, the first electric cars were kind of loosely based on golf cars.
Yeah, it's
you
a
know?
Golf cart, basically.
And Fisker, and I mean, we may be going back 13 years now, was like, I'm going to make something that's kind of low slung and handles and has nice, rich interior wood and looks like a luxury sports sedan, a GT Grand Touring. And they did it, and I drove it, and it was like, oh my God, this thing's amazing. And then they ran into, I don't know, some battery supply problems, and then one caught on fire, and then I think the
company that was making the battery, I think, went out of business.
I think those Fisker Karmas are going to follow. You know, if you want to kind of know, you know, always kind of talk about the big brother dragging up the one below it. If you want to kind of know where things are going with the Fisker Karma, and I don't know what those things are selling for now, Chris, but I don't think you could give them away about 5-6 years ago. They came out, they were, I don't know, 80, 90 grand, 100 grand, then they just kind of flattened out, there were some issues, and then you couldn't really give them away. I think if you're looking for an investment, the Fisker Karma has a lot of similarities to Spyker. Spyker was a good-looking car, interesting car, kind of a bespoke, you know, company that wasn't GM or whatever, Ford, and everyone they didn't sell. People turned their nose up at them. They at some point they got down to 90 grand or something on eBay, and they're 350 grand now, like all day long, you know, and then some. And there's a lot of similarities in the Karma with the Spyker. You know,
I really, they're
the same
first
era.
Of all, design is good. So when you, like you said, when you see the car, you're like, this is a cool looking sedan. It's got haunches, it's got hips on it, and it's got a good low slung feel.
So what are they going for, Chris?
There's one for $31,000. There's one for $39,000, $27,000.
So that's as of today.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, those sales were 2020, 2019. Yeah. Now, the assets of that company were sold to another company. So there's this new Fisker Karma, same body style coming out. That will cause a little bit of confusion.
I think if you got 30, 35 grand, I think you may want to get on that car.
Yeah. I don't know how feasible it is to drive. I don't know the quality. Well,
yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, don't buy it. You know, don't buy it for your kid to go off to college. But you know, I think it's got a lot of, at 30 something grand, it's got a lot of upside.
You're right. We talk about what are, you know, whatever, affordable collector cars. This might have some potential. It looks good. It's a good piece to talk about. maybe not something you want to drive every day, but in the mid-30s range, I mean,
yeah,
definitely less of a risk.
Take a look at, again, just follow kind of the trajectory of Spyker, and I think you're going to find a lot of similarities. But you're right, like Spyker, the car has to look the part.
Yeah.
It has to look good first and foremost, and the Fisker does.
Yeah.
And that's Spyker. I used to look at Spykers all the time. I go, this is a lot of diamond stitching, by the way.
A lot of diamond stitching.
I would look at that car and go, this is a fucking jewelry box. Like, yeah. It's beautiful, you know, and I was like, eh, no one wants them. No one likes them. And I was like, all right. I can't imagine, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the 90s movie where, oh, there's the frumpy chick because she has her hair up in a bun and she's wearing glasses, but it's clear she's smoking hot. And it's like, nobody sees that. Yeah. Ah, look at her glasses. Yeah, nobody wants glasses. Her. Well, I'm telling you, I used to look at those all the time and go, I'd look at the interior, I'd look at the exterior. It had the V8 Audi power plant and stuff. And mm-hmm. I was like, mid-engine and all that. And I was like, that's a good-looking piece. Not interested. They couldn't really move them. And now I think 350 is about the low end on those cars. And I'd say 30 grand, get yourself a Fisker and sit on it for a while.
And this, you're right. This is a car company where there's probably clean, low-mile ones that were sitting on car dealer lots or in a showroom, you know, a handful, if that, were sitting there for a long time. They couldn't move them, and now hopefully those dealers held on to them in a museum. I feel like somebody like Bo Bachman probably
interior reclaimed wood too. I remember talking to Fisker about it. Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting because that's his car now is all very eco-friendly.
The ocean.
It's make it out of like old fish nets and plastic bottles or a lot of interior pieces. It's got vegan friendly interior, like a leather like kind of material. It's all super vegan friendly that he's pushing.
I'll wait in the in and out drive through line in my vegan friendly
my vegan
Fisker.
Friendly Fisker. So the Fisker Ocean, as we said, is a small EV SUV. It's front wheel drive or all wheel drive trim. It's about 6 inches longer than a Honda CRV.
Mm-hmm.
And the wheelbase is about 10 inches longer. So the wheels are pushed out further. It's got a good look to it.
Wider? You're saying 10? Oh, the wheels.
The wheel base.
Pushed to the front and the back.
And it is. And like what Fisker did before, he gave the hips like some meat to them. They got haunches on it. So it has kind of a wide stance to it. So it looks beefier. Some cool features we might have touched on. The big infotainment screen is vertical or horizontal, right? Mm-hmm. And you can hit a button and it'll go whichever way you want.
Mm-hmm.
His California button, when you hit that, it rolls down all of the windows and opens the roof and rolls down the little dog windows in the back.
Uh-huh.
In the hatch, he designed what he calls dog windows. So dogs can sit in the hatch, hang their head out, not fall out. One of his little tricks, one of his gimmicks that sells.
Yeah, well, you know, sadly, but if you're talking about the electric car market, they're probably more into their dogs than my parents were into their kids. And everything, you know, the vegan this and the reclaim that and the former fish nets this and the dog windows. It's all part and parcel of sort of the new who is buying this car.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was coming up, when they're selling you a car, they were talking about powertrain warranty.
Right.
And they were talking about Bondurai steel, you know, and they were just laid out. They'd go, rust-proof warranty, 50,000, engine, 25, powertrain. Like, they just go through every single part.
Good features, but now we assume all cars have that. So where's the conversation piece?
Right.
The conversation piece is fishnet recycled seats, right? Like,
yeah, they don't even. I don't think the average person even asked what the warranty is on anything.
Yeah, what sort of rust proofing do you have?
Well, I mean, it's kind of gotten down. It's sort of like TV sets now. You know, there's no bulbs and pipes and you know, transistors and things to fix. It's just you buy the TV set, the biggest one you can at the cheapest price, and you plug it in. Like, you don't you just assume everything's just going to work and be good until it doesn't work, and then you'll get a new one. That's kind of where we're at. And I think that's kind of where we're at with cars now.
Yeah. You know, and so this Fisker starts at about 37,000, works its way up to about 70,000, and it comes out in a year from now, and then the other versions are after that. But his strategy on this is he's making the car. He's teamed up with a company called Magna, and they're in Austria. And he went to them and said, can we build this car? And yes, this is what I think is smart about the process. I don't mind a smart businessman outsourcing these things. You don't have to own everything. So he went to Magna. Magna has a base platform, sort of an EV platform. He started with that. And then 90% of the car is all original, his design and engineers, and he owns all the IP. He owns all the intellectual property. But instead of building a factory from scratch and staffing it up and going through the growing pains, Magna builds cars. I believe Magna builds the Mercedes G-Wagon. Mm. Right. So he went to a company that is cash flow positive, has been building cars, has some quality and reputation under their belt. And he said, what can you do for me? So, yeah, he's cutting into his margins a little bit because there's a markup for that company. But it's safe to say that he's probably going to be one of the startup EV companies that's going to come out of the gate with probably a little bit higher quality just because the experience on the production floor, mm-hmm. right? That company going, this is what we've learned building cars for years. This is what we do for Mercedes. This is what we do here, what we do there.
Yeah.
I saw, so it's kind of interesting.
Is it a Reveron? Reveron? What's the truck?
Rivian.
Rivian. Is it Rivian?
Rivian.
With a T at the end.
No. Rivian. Yeah. Rivian.
Yeah, I was thinking of that DiCaprio movie.
The Revenant with the bear.
I saw one traveling down the 101 the other day.
Yeah.
It's the first one I've ever seen in the wild.
I think they started delivering a few and making all the press rounds. So they've giving some to, like a day or two to the media to mm-hmm. do stuff. So, it could have been, any journalist could have been driving it. So it's a little smaller than an F-150, but a little bigger than a Ranger or a Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting wonderful reviews. Edmunds did a big test on it and says it's not efficient, just sort of the cost to plug it in. It uses a massive battery to mm-hmm. get the range that it gets. That's mm-hmm. kind of, 300 and something miles.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it too much, but it's kind of interesting, which is, as far as the sale of electric cars, and you're talking about efficiency. I've been saying to Dr. Drew for a million years, like, money's invisible now, so it's real easy to spend. The government's printing it, kids got apps on their phone,
yeah.
It just feels, my kids, money's invisible to them. There's nothing to do with me or going to work or anything. It's all praise goes to their phone, which somehow prints the money in their mind.
Yeah.
When they get now, gas is real tangible. Like, gas is cash.
Yeah.
You sit there at a gas station, you watch that wheel spin. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, 37, oh, $41, oh, $56. It's like tick, 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 tick. Electric, you plug it in, you walk away. Now, obviously, the meter's running, but it just doesn't have that visceral cash
right.
effect. It's like the difference between...
And you've deferred the payment, like, till your next month's bill.
Yeah, and it's also kind of, I don't know, I know you know down to the penny what your electric bill is. I don't really know. Like, I'm in a different bracket, and I don't care as much as you do, and that's more on me than it is on you. But what I'm saying is the impact of the electric bill going up is right. It's deferred and or defrayed. I can never tell which one or both. But the point is the gas station is cash.
Yeah.
And the electric is kind of a credit card. It's much different when you're going out to dinner. I mean,
Because that's in front of you, right?
To dinner 80% less if I had to just pull out cash for that nice steak dinner with a couple of cocktails. You and I have been to quite a few of those. If I had to pull out a ball of cash and peel off $327 or something, I'd be like, fuck this. We're not doing this again. But you get a little buzz going and you give them the credit card and they walk away with it. Like, have fun.
You come back, you can barely see it. It's dark. All those steakhouses are dark, by the way.
Yeah.
You scribble down a number and you sign your name and you're on your way.
That is the credit card. I think the electric is the credit card. And
it
for
kind
that
of is.
Reason, and not to mention that at least out here, gas is $5.50 a gallon.
Oh, and it's depressing when you know, when you go to whatever gas station and use your ATM card, and it automatically stops at 100 because it has to ding the card and it like pre-approves. Like credit cards and stuff, it's fine. Like you usually get a higher limit, but you put your ATM in, you're like, $100 I just filled up and I don't have a full tank of gas. Like you couldn't do it on $100. Like you're driving a truck or an SUV. Like I spent $100 and I'm going to have to do this again in a few days because I got, you know, 3/4 of a tank. And you're right. Even if you buy gas with that credit card or a gas card, your ATM card, it's that 5 minutes of just watching this till just go, just numbers in front of you. And you see the gallons not even going nearly as fast as the dollars.
Yeah.
And you're like, 2 gallons, $18. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you saw that, like if you sat down at Mastro's and they had that on the middle of the table and every time you took a bite of steak and started racking up, you'd be like, I'm cutting this off. Sides only. Mashed potatoes. I'm out of here.
The thing that's funny is, and it's so insane, so they're talking about gas and how expensive it is, and Biden's going to make a move. And Biden's thing is we're going into the strategic oil reserve.
Yeah,
right?
That we didn't tell you about. We're gonna release some barrels.
All right. So, but here's what people don't know. And it's so bad. But it's like they're gonna go in for 50 million barrels.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to the strategic. We're going in the reserve. Let me ask young Ryan. 50 million barrels were going into the strategic oil reserve to lighten the load on production and importation of the gas and blah, blah, blah. Give us a number of weeks, months, days, time that you think the 50 million barrels, like how long could this country run off of 50 million barrels?
A month and a half?
2.5 days.
And I was being conservative because of the way you framed it.
How would this relieve gas? Okay, so we're going in. So we do 20 million barrels a day in this country. They're going to release 50 million barrels. They tell you the 50 million part. They don't tell you how many we burn a day. And they had the fucking energy secretary up there. Now, as I like to say, I like to play a little game. Stupid or liar. Stupid or liar, because she's up there doing a press conference, and maybe I can't think of her name, but maybe Chris can find it. It's a day or so old. And somebody, of course, the press guy's like, do you know how many barrels we do a day? This is the energy, the Secretary of Energy.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't have that number in front of me.
Yeah.
Now, you want to know why she doesn't have that number in front? First off, how come I know? You're the fucking Secretary of Energy.
Yeah.
All right, she doesn't know. Stupid or liar. She knows.
She knows.
The reason she doesn't have that number in front of her, by the way, Matt, do you see any numbers in front of me?
No.
Okay, I can remember 20 million barrels a day, and I can remember 50, and then I can extrapolate
and
into 2.5 days. Right, it's not my job, but I still know it. Jennifer Granholm, she says, I don't have those numbers in front of me. The reason...
Well, she didn't lie. She probably doesn't have that number in front of her.
I would,
but it's in her head.
I would argue you should know.
Yeah, you should know, yeah.
What grade is your kid in? I don't have that number in front of me.
I don't have that number in front of me. Okay, technically true, but I feel like you should know this.
What's your zodiac sign? I don't have that information in front of me. I don't have any of that in front of me. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we don't have in front of us.
Right, yeah.
Okay, how old are you? What's your address? Okay, not in front of me. I'm still aware of these numbers. So she doesn't have it in front of her, and the reason she doesn't have it in front of her is because if she's up there talking about strategic reserves, And if somebody says, how many barrels do we do a day in this country? If she says 20 million a day, the next question is going to be, so the reserves are 50. Mm-hmm. So that's 2.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
She can be dumb and just say she doesn't have that number in front of her.
Right.
I don't know if you can find that, Max Pat.
The clip.
It's like, I don't know. Could there be a more blatant example of stupid or liar? Now, in this case, it's liar because she's not a dumb person. And she's the energy secretary.
And why even do the press conference? Like, you know it's not going to make a big impact, right? Maybe it's a minor impact. And like, what's the press conference? It's like, we're going to release this because we're heroes?
I don't know if it was a bigger subject or
it's making the rounds. It's making the news. It's obviously hitting the automotive community, the news that I read.
Right. Well, yeah. Let's see. Maybe we can play the clip if Chris has it.
If you know, how many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume per day?
I don't have that number in front of me.
So some suggest it's about 18 million, which would suggest you're releasing less than 3 days' worth of supply from the petroleum reserve.
She okay. didn't have that number in front of her.
No,
she's the energy secretary.
Yeah.
Why does he know?
Yeah, the reporter
does. Does he have the number? Chris, is this stupid or liar?
It's liar.
It's liar.
It's liar. It's liar.
Or by the way, at what point do we remove you from your post? You know what I mean? Like, you're the energy secretary, sweetheart. We're talking about a gas crisis here. You don't have any idea of how many barrels this country uses a day?
Of course.
And by the way, when you say, I'm going to release 50 million barrels from the strategic reserve, isn't your next question, energy secretary, is that good for... Was that good for a year?
Yeah, how long?
Like, what does that buy us?
Right. You're saying she didn't anticipate a follow-up question? By the way, in the world we live in today, somebody's going to be able to Google and find a clip or an article where she says how much use per day, right? Because she must have, as the head of energy, right? Like, as that job, you have to, she's probably said it 100 times in conversations.
That's a good point. We'll see if we can find what was the press where what was before that? Was she talking about releasing 50,000 barrels?
I'm looking.
Anyway, so it's nice to have energy reserves, but energy reserves that last you less than half a week does not make me brim with confidence as an American.
If there was the speech of going, hey, this doesn't last long, what we really need to do is combine it with, you know, reduced travel, don't, you know, blah blah blah, don't get in your car, carpool, you know, like whatever, like how do you string this out?
Mm-hmm.
right you know, in California we do it with our electric and they go, yeah, we don't have reserves because we don't have a way of holding battery holding power.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone in California should stop using water and stop using electricity. And if you don't, we're going to do rolling blackouts or shut your water off.
Well, did you go through the – you want to talk Porsche?
I do. I want to talk Porsche. But this note about Fisker, other company, Mullen, came out. And it's a good-looking little SUV and another like direct listing publicly traded company. Somebody could bring up a picture of this Mullen USA. MullenUSA.com is the car. It's a sharp looking little SUV. They got a factory in Tennessee. They came out to the LA Auto Show. Nobody's ever heard of them.
How much is this going to cut into Tesla? I feel like Tesla, tell me if this is an apt analogy. When I started off in construction, the cordless drill was, you know, the drill of the future, mm-hmm. brand new. 9.6 volts, mm-hmm. steel chuck, had to use a key. I still maintain that the best name for a homeless guy is Keyless Chuck.
Keyless Chuck.
I love that guy. He drinks a little, stay away from him, but during the day, he seems fine.
He seems fine.
So there was nothing but Makita. Makita cornered the market. They had the 9.6 volt, and that was the weapon of choice for pretty much a decade on a construction site. And then
that's a long run.
It is. By today's standards, it's 10 lifetimes, right? But even then, it was, look, you guys can Google me wrong. I'm not saying there wasn't a couple other offerings, but it wasn't a mainstream offering.
Right.
If you went onto a construction site and someone's using a cordless drill, they were using a Makita, and it was that way from, 1982 to 1995. Mm-hmm. And then you go to Home Depot now, everyone and their mother, Ring doorbells got a cordless drill offering. It's everything.
Yeah.
Rigid, DeWalt, Milwaukee, on and on and on and on. Of course, everything's good. Everything works. Is that kind of a Tesla analogy?
It is, and Tesla's been around for a while.
I will bet you that if you looked at the market share of Makita in cordless drills circa 1985, it was 92% of the market. Mm-hmm. Makita cordless drill now, they still make a great cordless drill, but they got to be down into the 20s or 30s in terms of market share.
The question is there 20 or 30% market share equivalent the amount of sales or larger than having 90% of a tiny market back then?
So I don't have those numbers in front of
you.
You don't have those numbers in front of you.
I
got to check.
But Tesla has enjoyed being the only real company for a long time. You think Chevy, Bolt, and
what
Leaf
economist and, Matt is saying is, well, if Tesla 8 years ago you got 90% of the market share and you're selling a million units a year, well, now you have 22% of the market share, but you're selling 1.7 million units a year because the market has expanded so much. That's what
so we're
saying.
Always going to look at Tesla's annual sales versus market share.
Right.
And that's going to be the game changer. And companies are realizing that, right? So when Ford comes out and they say, hey, we're doing an electric F-150, 10 hours after we announced it, we have 75,000 pre-orders.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have 150,000 deposits. We have orders on this truck. Nobody is saying that's 1% of the truck market or 10% of the F-150 market. They're just saying 150,000 sales is more than what a lot of car companies do on specialty cars. Mm-hmm. 150,000 F-150s, electric F-150s, is probably more than every Camaro that was sold last year.
They do. They've been running the commercial for the electric Lightning F-150 lighting up the house for the Christmas season.
Yes.
The problem with that commercial, and it's a problem with a lot of commercials and a lot of trailers for comedies and stuff. When you edit it together, you know exactly what's going on, so you start trimming and trimming and trimming. It doesn't play like the car's lighting up the house. They show the house, they show the car in the driveway, they show like a tight shot of him like pushing the button and you see the lights go on. That's too much math for us to do. It seems like someone in the house turned on something. I'm saying like you got to show him running the cord and like you got here's what I'm saying, maker of that commercial. You have to carve out about 4 seconds of showing him like plugging the Christmas light cord into like an extension cord.
Yeah.
And then showing them like plug it into the truck and then like hit
the
switch.
Fire up the truck and the house turns on.
It is. And I'm telling you because I edit shit, it's only 5 seconds, but carve it out. It's happening too fast.
Yeah. And how you don't edit the Christmas Vacation with the lights going on and off, him outside trying to look. How you not turn that into an electric F-150 commercial? I have no idea. But by the way, Fisker, I believe, is doing the same thing. They're going to be offering that type of feature. They're saying, why not? It's a battery-powered car.
Everyone's going to have to.
All we need to do is the hardware on the house. Why aren't we all doing this?
So do you have the, the Mullen 5?
The Mullen 5, it's a sharp-looking SUV. It came out of nowhere, it seems like. And they're talking about 55,000.
Mm-hmm.
0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds, 325-mile range. And
wow!
And it's pretty.
Two row.
It's a two row. It's a kind of a midsize SUV.
How far off? It looks good. How far off are we?
I don't know what the delivery dates on it. They're taking reservations on it right now. They're doing $100 deposits. Fisker said they're a year out. So and they just became a publicly traded company, Mullins, on November 5th. So maybe they're a year out. Maybe they're a little bit less. I want to say their headquarters is here in Southern California, and their factory is going to be in Tennessee. So we'll see. But it's just another company. It's just they had a huge booth at the LA Auto Show. Everyone's like, "Who is this company? This looks good. I'm interested."
I love it.
Just kind of sounded interesting. But
find any Granholm?
Yeah. So it started like right before that question. You're just talking about the gas prices and the president's doing everything he can with the petroleum reserve, and it's on his mind. But the real goal is to transition to cleaner energy. And then they asked her that question. She says, "I don't have that number in front of me." And then she goes back to saying that, "Look, other countries are doing it too. We're not as much as we are, and that's what we have."
Well, now you got to go on the quest to find her, you know, when she's being sworn into Congress or something, talking about she's got to.
She must have said that number.
Well, if you want to be the energy secretary, you have a small cheat sheet of shit you got to know.
Yeah.
It's like saying you're going to be the ambassador to Spain, and then you got to go, "Okay, where's the capital?" Like, well, you better fucking commit that one to the memory bank, otherwise it's going to get embarrassing.
Right. There's going to be 100,000 things, but there's always going to be like 10 questions that the general public is going to be interested in, and our consumption of fuel is going to be one of them.
I bet that'll come up there.
All right, so Porsche. Let me tell you about Porsche. Oh, let me hit Geico real quick here. Do you own or rent your home? Well, either way, it could be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
Porsche
had their room that we love always at the LA Auto Show. It's always a great display. It's kind of like a little museum tour. Like you walk in one door, you come out the other door, and you see all these great cars.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cool things in there. Stole the show with the Cayman GT4 RS.
Is that 718 Cayman?
Yeah, the Cayman 718 GT4 RS. A great color on the debut, a big wing, and they decided to take the GT3 engine, drop it in. It's a 4-liter naturally aspirated 9,000 RPM engine, makes 493 horsepower. Oh. It sounds fantastic. This car is fast. It looks awesome. It's going to be about $143,000. And, of course, they have to kind of, like, make it, whatever, 10 horsepower less than a GT3 911. But
yeah,
this had everybody just crushing over this car. People were like, "Oh, this thing's cool. It looks awesome."
The 718 looks like the old what the hell was the one? What was the mid-engine that they came out with after the 911? Not after the 911, but
Well, they had a Boxster.
This is the Boxster
hardtop, basically.
Yeah, did they do a Boxster anymore?
They do a 718 Boxster.
Is that what they're doing? All right, so this is a 718.
It's only going to have a PDK because they said they don't have a manual transmission that goes to that engine or something. They gave some excuse about it. Also, 9, I'm sure 000. They just wanted to. Yeah, naturally aspirated, 9,000 RPM.
Boy, that thing sounds awesome.
0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds, top speed of 196, hauls ass around the ring, and looks awesome. I don't know how comfortable the car is, but that's not what this one is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, imagine in that package, better weight balance being that rear mid, smaller car, lighter weight.
Yeah,
it really looks like it's going to be.
Let me see what it looks like. You can find it.
Bring up that Cayman GT4 RS, please.
That is a nice piece. Order it all up the way you want it.
And you know, in the other car that I saw in there, I know people were like, "Oh, this new Gran Turismo, new Taycan, and Macan GTS." Right when I walked in, I saw that red 911 GTS Targa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is the cool bang for the buck car. The GTS has all the great trim level features.
Mm-hmm.
It sits lower, wider than anything else. it's manual transmission if you want it, mm-hmm. and center lock wheels, mm. right? So, yeah. so here's a few photos of the of the GT4 RS.
Yeah, it looks good.
They did a blue wheel on this thing, which mm-hmm. people loved.
Ah. Yeah,
they did kind of a blue gray kind of
center lock. Yeah, beautiful.
And then a blue wheel.
It's got the Senna type rear spoiler, rear wing.
Yeah,
I mean the who makes that Senna? God damn it!
The
I can't think of the car manufacturer that makes the Senna.
McLaren.
McLaren.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
It's too many cars now, man. Can't keep track of all of them, but yeah, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Chris, somewhere on my social, I did some photos about the LA Auto Show, and in there is this red Porsche Targa GTS. I think it might be a Targa 4 GTS mm-hmm. with the wider hips and stuff. And It's a gorgeous car. Just in the 911 world, what they're doing with the Targa is fantastic. And when you get into that car, you know, in the turbo, you can't get with a manual transmission. The GT cars are great, but, you know, a little bumpier, a little rougher. But as a gorgeous daily driver, I just think that GTS, that 911 GTS, with or without the Targa, but getting the center lock wheels from the, you know, and the center locks make it for me in like – this one was red with the black wheel. I don't know that you need to do the black wheel with the center lock. Like, make it stand out.
Yeah. Get it in, get that Targa in the robin's egg blue with either red interior or navy blue interior.
Yeah.
Or get it in white with the navy blue interior. That's that is a good goddamn look for that car.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris, don't worry about it. I didn't know if I posted everything yet, but I'll get it posted so you guys listening. It looks sharp. So yeah, it was auto show looking good. A little scarce. Sorry, there's fewer exhibitors out there, but
Good
but
news.
Worth going to. It goes on for another week or so.
All right, going to be at the Bray Improv December 15th. Going to be taping some shows for the Daily Wire. There got TJ Miller and Patrick Warburton. Portland Helium Comedy Club, December 22nd, 23rd, doing four shows at their stand-up live podcast, and Truth Yeller, my new comedy series on the Daily Wire, is available now. Jay Leno's the first one, so you can go to dailywire.com/Adam, save on that membership. Yeah.
I will be at the PRI show in Indy Friday, December 10th, 10 a.m. on the main stage. I'll be doing a live show there, doing some interviews and stuff. So if you're going to PRI, come say hi.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.